Our gospel lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. These are words spoken by the priest Zechariah at the birth of his son, John, who we grow to know as John the Baptist. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before God to prepare God's ways, to give knowledge of salvation to God's people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Friends, on Friday, we got a sad message from the Michigan United Church of Christ Conference. One of the young people who died in the Oxford High School shooting is the great-granddaughter of a member at Emmanuel Congregational Church in Oxford, Michigan. And one of the injured students who is in the hospital is a neighbor and friend of the church. So please join me in a moment of prayer for these two young people, their families, Emmanuel Congregational Church, and their pastor, the Reverend Liz Wilson. God, there is so much senseless violence and hurt in our world. We cannot begin to hold it all. It's hard to even imagine what peace might look like or feel like. But we know that peace is what you promise, and that you equip us to be bearers of peace in this world. May your people, our kinfolk at Emmanuel Congregational Church, know your peace today as they grieve. Hold them close in their sorrow, and give them your gifts of compassion, healing, and strength for each day. Amen. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. This poem by Wendell Berry is one that I find myself returning to again and again. I wish that his words did not ring so true. I wish that despair for the world never grew in me. I wish I had no fears for what my life and my children's lives might be, but I do. And like this farmer poet from Kentucky, being in the presence of still water and wild things has become a solace, a place where I can approach peace. Peace is a slippery word in English. It can describe our inner states, but also relationships, interpersonal relationships, and even international relationships. It mostly means relief from tension or conflict. I am at peace. She is keeping the peace. We long for peace. But it's also a buzzword that sometimes feels empty. What is the peace that we long for? Is it an end to war and conflict? A lot of activism is built on the belief that we get closer to peace by disrupting routines or breaking unjust laws. But those actions don't feel like peace to the people whose routines are disrupted, or the people whose job is law enforcement. Is the trans kid who chooses not to come out to their parents closer to peace than the one who does come out and finds themselves at the center of daily conflict and power struggles? Or does the inner conflict that this child experiences in the closet, does that count? Is it worth keeping the peace at home when they are torn apart inside? When we hear the promise that God will guide our feet into the way of peace, what does that mean? What vision of peace are we walking toward? I'm grateful for the Philippians passage that was paired with our reading from Luke this morning. That's the passage that Pam read for us. Even though that passage doesn't use the word peace, the community that Paul affectionately describes in the church in Philippi is a vision of the kind of peace that I believe the church is called toward. Love that grows more and more in understanding and wealth of experience. An ever deeper expression of core values, those things that really matter. A rich harvest of justice. And all of these things for the glory of God. I am a pastor at this church because I have seen these qualities here. From the outside, 7 years ago, I could see that this is a community in which love flows and grows in understanding. I saw this church valuing children, welcoming families of all shapes and configurations, and literally holding space in this building for what matters most, for the arts, for music, community organizing, and all kinds of education. I saw a church that didn't just talk about justice as an abstract concept, but took steps toward justice in our city in concrete ways. And I remain here because I see these qualities continuing to deepen and grow. It can be hard to see this, I know, because we are still dispersed. We're still social distancing. We have many faithful members who have yet to return in person because of their concerns for their own health and their concerns for yours. But even when families have not felt safe coming to church in person, this church has found creative ways to care for children and value them and invest in them, not least of which has been through the ongoing faithful work of the Children's Nature Playscape team. Even when we have not been physically able to host the organizations that reflect our values of beauty and justice and understanding, we have continued to gather over Zoom, in people's gardens and driveways, to share our hearts and lives, to deepen our commitment to what matters most. Throughout COVID, this church has been helping house people, helping people access medical care, educating ourselves about racism and injustice in the church's history, and helping care for families in our church and beyond through health crises and job crises and deaths and despair. This is the peace that I believe we are called to walk in. Active participation in healing and housing and working toward justice for our world. And that work grows out of the relationships that we are able to build with each other in the church. The peace we forge in the world is built on the peace that we experience with each other. Even when we disagree, even when we experience disappointment, even when we are exhausted. This is a church that understands that peace does not mean uncritical support of our leaders. It doesn't mean agreeing all the time. Peace means a shared commitment to following Jesus and trust that each of us can do that better when we are together than we would be able to do alone. Today is a special Sunday because we get to celebrate both sacraments of the church. At the communion table, we will be fed again, nourished in body and soul. We will remember that we are one body in Christ. And in baptism, we affirm that what makes us part of this body of Christ is not our own good choices or good behavior, not our faith, not our effort. What makes us part of this body of Christ is God's love, God's welcome. We are beloved members of the body before we know how to choose God, before we can speak our own names, before we know any of the stories of our faith. And nothing, nothing can shake that love. At the heart of his description of the church in Philippi, Paul names his confidence that God, who began this good work in them, will carry it through to completion. And that is, I believe, the bedrock of peace. Beneath the peace that we experience among members in this church is the peace each of us knows in our baptism. That our identity is secure. We are whole and chosen and held. Held like the solid ground holds our feet when we stand in the forest. Held by the grace of the world. Held by the ground of all being. Held by God, held by love. Friends, You are here because you also have experienced good work at this church. You have known belonging. You have experienced the ways that our life together supports and nurtures your faith and faithful action. And beloved ones, today I rejoice and I rest secure in the knowledge that God, who began this good work in us, will carry it through to completion. Amen.